got a teaching today. I believe it's really going to be fun, and I'm asking that the God, the Holy Spirit, as I speak some things, and I'm really going to share a lot of scripture, especially because it's Pentecost Sunday, and it's a Sunday that, and Glenn gave us a little commercial into it, what that entails, but I think there's a lot more to it, and I don't even think that we could teach on the church, the Holy Spirit, all in one Sunday anyway, so I'm going to do something that's super abbreviated, but at the same time, I'm feeling and hoping and praying that, you know, that which we don't understand, most of the time we fear. Is that correct? You guys agree with that statement? That's not a biblical, that's not in Proverbs or anywhere. Not that I know of, I haven't read it yet anyway. But it is something that we've realized about ourselves as our psyche, is that the things that we don't understand, sometimes we fear, because we just don't understand it. So we place it in a place of like, I don't get it, so I'm afraid of it. Or maybe we've seen something displayed that gives us a fear about the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is. So my prayer, and I really am believing that our ears, by the power of the Spirit, would be able to receive that which God wants to do, to give us understanding so that we won't be afraid. My goodness, if there isn't a better advocate for you personally and for us, the church, the Holy Spirit is Him. I mean, He's our best bud. I mean, Jesus is our Savior. Hallelujah. He's the Christ. But the Holy Spirit, I mean, there's a reason that the Bible refers to Him as one word, and we could identify Him as one word. Who knows what it is? Helper. Helper. That's a good word. That's like, you can't improve on that. Helper. It's like, that's great. I mean, why would I be afraid of a helper? I like helpers that actually want to help. There's helpers that don't really want to help. We won't go there. Let's quickly get... Gosh, I quickly got distracted. Squirrel? I think squirrel ran behind here somewhere. I don't know. I swear. So let's talk about this for just a moment and pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would really just enlighten us. Give us understanding. And I think even do something even more amazing than that is as we understand and receive. As Alfonso said, he said, I accept that. But what he really said was, I receive that. I take in shalom, and I take it in, not so that I could just hog it all up and say it's all for me. If you guys know Alfonso, he doesn't sit around and hug himself. Not that I know of, I don't know. But I know that he takes God in so that he could give it out. And that's his ministry is, amen? Yeah, a lot of yes, yes, and amens on that. Hallelujah. So I know that which he was saying was an agreement with, let's take God in so that we can give him out. Hallelujah. Man. Oh, next week. All right. It's just something just like, woo. I don't know what you call it, a ding or a click or a light bulb or something, but it's like, okay, praise the Lord. Pentecost. So I'm going to go right to it where it actually happened, and this is Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is where this came about. Didn't start about there, but it's where it came about, what we refer to as the birth of the church. just as a little side note to keep in your head as we're going through this. Don't you think it's a little bit interesting that the birth of the church is synonymous with the coming of the Holy Spirit? Has that changed? Can you do church without the Holy Spirit? It's, I don't know what you call it, but it's not church. It's not. I go to Lions Club meetings. I go to Kiwanis Club meetings. I go to lots of different like do-gooder club meetings, philanthropist group meetings. I go to lots of them, multiple ones all over the community, city council meetings, and they're not church. They're not the gathering of God's people, and that's not what the church is. God has established his body as the body of Christ, church, that's without the power, without the working of the Holy Spirit, it is not that. It is not his church if God the Holy Spirit is not in it. Hello? I mean, that's, we may say we can try it, but it's not. It's a failure. It's a falling short of. So as it started, it still goes and it still remains until he returns and brings his bride back into his fold as the groom. Then that's where, then we say, yes, we're home. We're home. Because this is not our landing place. So Acts chapter 2, I'm going to start there. This is good stuff. I'm going to read a good portion of scripture, so bear with me. You can't really do this without doing it, honestly. You can't read it without reading it. So we got to read it. Kind of like, you know, the difference between boys and girls. I'm going to move on. That's Acts chapter 2. Yeah, no, that's not even coming about. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So real quick, I just stop and just pause. This will be my only pause, promise. No, I take that back. Recant that. As the day of Pentecost, that, you know, this is where the believers, the disciples, were gathering together in the upper room. And this is, as this happened, there was already a meeting time and a meeting place that says that the day of Pentecost had fully come. So there's already a celebration, a feast, you know, Glenn was alluding to, because it's very true. It's actually what it is. It's the feast of Pentecost, which is a commemorative feast that, from what I get in my understanding of it, and this is super interesting, I love this about this day, is it's the day that the Israelites, they commemorated the giving of the law at Mount Sinai after coming through, being delivered out of Egypt at Passover. They were delivered out of Egypt at Passover. God took them out of Egypt. They went through the Red Sea, and then as they Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days, and the giving of the law was given to Moses, and he came down from the mountain on that day, this day, Pentecost. So they commemorate this, the giving of the law, on Pentecost. This is the day that they commemorated that. They celebrated Pentecost on the giving of the law. You guys following with me on this? Now, I want us to understand something. And this is something I fully believe in, and I believe God's giving us understanding in this. As the giving of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit coming in and the birth of the church coming about, it doesn't like, okay, now that was the bad law, and this is the good church, the good Holy Spirit. That's, please try not to, I know it's hard to wrap our brains in that because we want to do that. We want to place things in nice little comfortable compartments that we could say, okay, that's bad, that's good. When it's not always that black and white, you know, the giving of the Spirit, here's the thing, let me just say it in a real quick sentence that I feel like it helps me to understand it. The giving of the law was that which God was putting into place for God's people as an external guideline that they could say, here's some commandments, here's some guides that you can have that are for you, for my people, so that you can live. And if you live by these, you will be blessed. If you go by these, you will be blessed. Here's some guidelines that I'm giving you to go by to bless you. Not to hinder you, not to corral you in, not to handcuff you to something that is supposed to be restrictive. It's actually, it was given for the point of blessing. I believe God's given me this understanding about it, but it was an external guide. You guys get it? Get it? It was something that is out there that I look at, I read it, and I try to do it. Hello? Right? So what happens now with the Holy Spirit? An internal friend, helper, to empower me, teach me, and guide me. All of the above. And that's awesome. So as God the Holy Spirit comes and he fills us and he fills the church at this day of Pentecost, he's saying now that which I did in the past was just for, it was an external guide. But and you always were failing, always falling short. Always missing the mark. You just couldn't do it. And I knew that even at the point of giving it. But I'm giving you this because I want my people to be blessed. And here's how to do it. And I know you can't do it, but here's how to do it. But here I'm giving you now the Holy Spirit that's filling you. Here's the awesome part is now you don't have to keep trying to do it. Let me do it in you and through you. That's good news. That's like, get up and shout it and say, that's awesome news. That's the gospel. That's a new, boy, that's scary up here. You can't help but get excited about it. Hello? Okay. Okay. Sean, I laugh at me too a lot too. Don't worry, brother. Still. But you know, I'm finding myself walking down the aisle where they sell all the old people pills, though. Hey, I'm pert near 50. Pert near. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, so let me back to the text, and this is a great passage of Scripture. It's about 30 verses, 40 verses, and I want to read this because it's super. It's if you've never read this and got it and just understood where it comes from. So that's a little with Glenn's commercial about it and what I just did. Let's read what actually happened here. In verse 2, it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Got one of these study Bibles. It has about 3 pages of notes now. So, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Okay, just keep going. All right. "And when this sound occurred to the multitude came together, and they were confused." Remember, it seems like confusion and lack of understanding brings about what? Usually fear. And even not just fear, but we even interject our presuppositions. We interject things that we would suspect. We interject suspicions into people. Does that make sense? Which I call it condemnations and judgments. You know, almost always with condemnation and judgment is suspicion. Suspicion. I'm suspicious of that person. Why is that? Because I don't really know what's going on there. Usually that's kind of what was going on here. So, and where are they? Because they were confused, because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. And then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, the dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, and both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this be?" And others mocking, they said that they were full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, he raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." The third hour is 9 o'clock in the morning. "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I shall show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think I should read that one again. And it came, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, by wonders, by signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. It was God doing it. You have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, and you have put him to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brothers, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David that is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. I'm not done yet. Verse 37, it says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter, oh man, how do I not? So let's real quick. So a display of God's Spirit on God's people was visibly seen and heard in front of others, foreigners, strangers, non-believers, people that from all over the place. And then the word of God was preached to them to where their ears were. Now something got their attention. God's word was preached to them and they were cut to the heart. God, the Holy Spirit, was doing this. And this is what happened. So when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brothers, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord your God, our God, will call. Hallelujah. There it is, Pentecost written out for us to see and understand and still continue to operate and function in as God's people. To all who God calls, God the Holy Spirit, and all who call on the name of Jesus, God's Spirit is available to be poured into our lives. Awesome. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Is God still doing this? Is God still doing this? Please do not get hung up, tripped up, hindered up on the flames of fire and the tongues. Do not get hung up, tripped up, and hindered up by that, okay? Understand you? Don't get tripped up by that. If God so sees it fit to display that kind of display of his power in our lives today, then let him do it. If God so sees fit to display a power of a Holy Spirit by healing people, let him do it. That's something that God has the prerogative to do things as he wants to do them. Hello? So please don't let that hang you up. And when I say hang you up, I mean in both ways, from both aspects, whether it's yes, that was for then, or no, that was for then, or that now it's for then, and now it's not for today. So don't let it hang you up. Yeah. Amen. Well, yeah, I think what you're saying, Linda said, is kind of like the burning bush where God spoke and he did something and his presence came about in that one instance. It doesn't mean that every time God's presence comes, it's got to look like that. It doesn't have to look like a bush. It doesn't have to look like a tongue of fire on a person's head. And it says that one, when you read it, did you catch that? One actually set on each person's head. I don't know what that looked like. That got to look trippy. That really, really was, I'm sure it was like, whoa, look at you. Oh, man, that's a flaming fire dancing on your head. I think it's always intriguing to me how we get more caught up and hung up on the tongues than we do about the flaming fire. I think the flaming fire is like really trippy. I don't know, that's just super trippy. And then we want to trip out about the tongues speaking another language and stuff. I'm like, well, what about that? What about that? That's like really strange. And that's how God chose to do it. And there's a whole teaching that I don't want to focus on why he did it like that. I'm not going to go there. So I'm just asking you, please don't get up. But I do know this, is that God started in the Spirit. He continues in the Spirit. We can't do this any other way but in his Spirit. So if you want to know what the point is of today's message is get acquainted with and stay acquainted with your helper, the Holy Spirit. Because he is still doing what he started out doing in the church from the day he started the church. And he's still doing it today. He's still working in us, and he's still doing awesome, mighty things in our lives. Man, if we don't believe that, I'm thinking, what are we doing? I mean, we just, there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying, I really like you. I want you to feel good about yourself, and I like you as a person. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. In fact, we should be that way, right? In other words, you know, being a part of you can call it an organization. The body is an organ, made lots of organs, and so we are an organization. But being a part of an organization that makes each that accepts and encourages and helps each other is a part of what we do. That's going to be about a 2 week or 2 to 3 week study that I want to talk about as the church and our identity and what we're supposed to be doing as salt and light. But that's not here and now. But if we really aren't tapping into the power of God, then we really are just another club. Yeah. Nothing wrong with being just another club, except that's not who we are. Do you guys get that?
Yes.
I didn't mean to say it in any other way but the way I said it. In other words, I like all the clubs. If God would free me to join them all, I would. But God has said, no, I can't. You're a part of my body. And I might get into that if the Lord allows me, if I just shut up and keep. How do you shut up and keep teaching? Yeah, that's a good one. Galatians chapter 3, 1 through 5. Let's read that because I believe he's Paul's kind of reiterating a little bit what I believe he's saying in today's. For us today to receive, and this was to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, he says, "Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has confused you? Who has deceived you that you should not obey the truth? Because before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified." In other words, our salvation is based solely and purely in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection. Hello? Amen. And this is what he's saying. That's how you got saved. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or works of the flesh or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by works of the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by your good works of the law or by hearing of faith? In other words, what? How God started it, he's still doing it, and he is going to keep doing it that way until he returns. Bottom line. Hello? Anybody read any other way? All right, let's go on. I'm not open for discussion. Not that one. How is he still doing it today? I'm going to give you some three really good applicable points. I'm making sure my boys over here. Hey, good to see you, Dylan. Hey, by the way, good to see you back there. Debbie. Yeah. Debbie. Good to see you, Debbie. Praise the Lord. A walking testimony of God's power and God's grace. How many in here is a walking testimony of God's power and God's grace? Sweet. We're amongst friends. I like it. We're all on the same page. Let's get this. Okay, I'm going to... Three ways that he started and is still doing this in our lives today. Three ways. I believe the God, the Holy Spirit, and they're straight from God's Word. God's word of how he started doing it, how he's still doing it, and he's doing it in our lives today. Three things. Okay, real quick. First one is he's still teaching, and it's John chapter 14. God the Holy Spirit is doing this in his body today, in you, by teaching. Listen to this. John 14, verse 25 and 26. This is Jesus. Jesus in his last days, as he was speaking to his disciples, was giving him instruction, giving him some insight into what now is going to come about after he leaves. You will have a helper. It says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." So here's, let me just break this down. I'm going to try to do this in a real abbreviated fashion. Each one of these I could spend a week on, but is giving God the Holy Spirit the allowance, the permission to teach you his ways simply requires a humble submission to his ways. It's really not that complicated. Don't overcomplicate it. It simply is saying, "God, I'm giving you permission to teach me." The essence of humility is teachability, right? Whereas, if you will, the trait of pride is you're unteachable. Because why? Because you know it all already. Hello? So that's why he tells us that, you know, pride goes before a fall, because anyone of us that thinks that we know it all, we're just getting ready to just basically trip and stumble and maybe fall flat on our face. But when we're teachable, when we're allowing God to teach us from within, the Holy Spirit giving him permission to teach us from within, is that's what God, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is looking to do. He's actually... actively involved in doing that in your life as a believer, whether you realize it or not. It's a matter of us aligning myself and tuning into that teachability or the teaching of the Holy Spirit in my life for my life. How does that work? Practical applications here. Ready? Anybody got any good examples? Okay, I got a couple. When I'm going about my day and I'm doing my job and I'm looking to be the husband that God's called me to be. So that involves me being a loving husband to my wife. I'm looking to be the father that God's called me to be, the dad. So that involves me to be, okay, how can I be a dad to my children and a papa to my grandchildren? I'm a worker, so I work for people. I work for an organization, so I am looking to be a good employee where I work. I'm a brother to siblings. I'm a son to a mom and mother and father-in-law. I am all sorts of things at the same time, right? I'm also a pastor. Don't forget about that one. Those things too. But all those things I'm doing on a regular basis, all at the same time. They're a part of my life. They're you know, and I jokingly say it's like about the 16 different hats that I put on a daily basis. And I'll put on all 16 of them on a regular basis. And that's great. But how is the Holy Spirit now doing this teaching in me in all of these aspects of my life? Here's how he's doing it. He's giving me, because he said it this way, I will teach you of all the things and bring to your remembrance of all the things that I've taught you how to be and how to do. You know, it's kind of like every little area as an employer that God has people under me that I'm in charge of. I use the word of God to teach me. God's word teaches me, and he instructs me from within to be that which is good and encouraging, to get the best and most out of your employees. As an employee, here's what I did. This is really cool. I quit my job every single day. I quit my job every day and go to work for God, and then go and do the job that God's called me to do every single day. Super simple. Do you guys hear what I just said? Nobody got it because nobody's just like, I quit every day and go to work for God and do what God's called me to do every single day. Okay, nobody really got it that way either. How do I say it another way? I encourage you, go out and quit your job tomorrow. Yeah, I'm telling you, quit your job tomorrow. Go and work for God. Sign up under God's plan. But go back to your job working for God. Did you get it that time? Oh, phew. Oh, okay. Well, I just got no response. I thought maybe, okay. What were you going to say, Dave? Amen. So to do this, I got to give permission to God the Holy Spirit to empower me and teach me how to do that. Right? I can't do that on my own. I can't do that on my own. Sometimes the people I work for suck. Hello? I don't know who I work for here. But sometimes the people that work under me suck. So how do I do that? I do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I say that? Suck? I did. Robin's like, dang it. What would be a better word than stink? That doesn't, huh? You're poopy. Huh? Yeah, she will make sure I say all things correctly. Hallelujah. You guys understand, even just as an example of loving my wife, being a dad to my children, I got to give God the permission in teaching me how to do that. I'm incapable. You know, we sing the songs about it. We talk about it. I'm incapable on my own, in my own flesh. I will fall and I will fail, and I will make a miserable mess of it quicker then you know, I could say, Bob's your uncle. I can do that. I can make a mess of things really fast. I don't know about the rest of you, but it's really easy to do for me in my flesh. Yeah? Not you, huh? You got it nailed. You're good. Yeah, you got it. Sweet. Okay. You're totally joking. Okay, let me go to the second point, because these three are really quick, and I'm going to try to make them really quick. If you turn a quick page, John chapter 16, John chapter 16, starting in verse 12. I marked that wrong, huh, Michael? So yeah, he is our guide. So listen to this. This is Jesus again teaching on and giving his disciples instruction right before he was going to leave. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So God, the Holy Spirit, our helper, is there to guide us. That's awesome. Hello? Anybody need any extra guidance in your life at all, at any point? Yes, we do. We need a guide. We need a guide. And I'm not talking just big things, little things too. God, the Holy Spirit, wants to be a guide in all things in your life. He's aggressively wanting to guide you in all things of your life as a helper, a helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Hello? All right. How does that work? How does that work in practical application for each and every situation and all the things of our life today? We've got to humbly submit to his guidance. Again, humbly coming before him and humbly submitting to his guidance. I mean, you got to ask for his guidance, right? 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 That's sometimes the challenge. Sometimes that's the biggest part is in the asking, is the asking part. I need some help. Which way to go? What direction to go with this? We seem to have a tendency to think that we can do this, and we kind of know what we're doing, and we don't ask for guidance. And I'm going to tell you, it's something I believe we need to ask for guidance in all areas of our life. Can I share something with you? I asked the Holy Spirit if I could share this, and he said, yes, be transparent about it. So I'm going to go for it. So I asked you, but I asked God first. So that means God trumps you because he said yes. So whatever. I'm asking, and I'm going to ask you to do this for me, though. I'm asking you, you're going to really allow the Holy Spirit to help you to hear this correctly, because I'm going to share something that I went through this week that I want you to be very I'm going to be transparent about, but I need you to hear it rightly, okay? Don't take it wrongly. Just hear this correctly as possible. Allow God to do this. We're doing stuff here at the Salt Mine. The Salt Mine's ministry setup is to primarily give as much as we can give into our community. Give to anybody and all that ask that are in need. That's our primary ministry. We don't want to turn anybody away. We want to give as much as we can. We want this community to know that this is a place that they can come and they can get help when they're in need. And that's something that we boast in the Lord about. And I mean this in that is complete humility. He gives us that. We boast in the Lord about that which we do here. For years and for quite a while now, as I share this, it's when we get into the summer, about the starting of summer, about almost to the holiday months, you know, almost like October-ish, it's a real struggle financially here at the Salt Mine. People go, people leave. Thrift shop struggles because people yard sale. A lot of things, the needs rise because kids are at home in the summer and then the parents need more help. And so the needs rise, the giving goes down. And so there's this out of balance thing that goes on financially here at the Salt Mine. I'm going to share you something that I struggle with in my heart is how do we deal with this? Do I just sit back and trust God? Do I just sit back and say, God, please do something? Please, and not do anything. And so in my heart, I struggle with this because I need to share this really quick too, and I hope I get time to get to the last one. I think I will. As God has called me to be pastor at the salt mine here, there's some things that he's aligned my thinking with that I cannot defer from. And he said, one thing that you cannot do, you cannot look at people as a source of revenue. Amen. If you ever do, I will remove you. He's told me that personally. I say that in extreme transparency, so hear it correctly. And there's been lots of avenues that have been trying to distract me and cause me to look at people as a source of revenue from, you know, I think I've shared with you about, I don't know how many people approach me on multi-level marketing systems and schemes out there that, because they know my influence about so many people in this community. So, oh man, he would be a killer. Yeah, man, and it'd be great for your people. All these things that like try to lure me into these things, and God says no. And he said no a long time ago, and it's still the answer is no. I don't think that's ever changed. You guys following with me on this? You need to track. You need to track. So as we go through this thing of the summer, this is super, super cool. I'm sharing you this because it does make a point of guiding. God the Holy Spirit guiding. So listen, I was seeking the Lord, and I said, okay, what do we do? And Blake and I, we've been praying, talking. Everybody, Glenn and Linda, Rob, Robin and I, we pray, we talk. What do we do? What do we do? We pray, we talk. What do we do? What do we do? And so we know the struggle. The struggle's there, and it's like, are we going to be at this place again come August, and we're going to be like, barely clawing to stay alive. And so the Lord said this. He said, well, what does my word say about this? And I'm going to, and actually this is neat because God took me to a place of, let me guide you into doing this my way. And I said, okay. And he took me to Cornelius. And I didn't even have to read it. And then when I did read it, I was like, oh yeah, that's it. Yeah, you're right, God. You ever done that? That's really cool. Because he reminded me of it. He gave me this, he reminded me of the thing that he had said.